And welcome back to the Tuned In podcast. Let's go. Here for another Tuned In Rewind episode.
Yes, sir. We're
getting into our bag for the off season. We got about a month left till basketball, but here we are. Man. How's your week been, Braden? How you been?
Oh man, it's been pretty good. We're both just trying to survive school, and things are getting a little crazy. Even 2 weeks into the semester, it's been a little wild.
Yeah, no, school's definitely hanging over the head. Doesn't mean there's not enough room for podcasts.
Yeah, that's right.
We always enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
I actually was shooting hoops this morning. I haven't actually shot a basketball in a while.
Yeah.
So it's actually fun to do that. I feel like my jump shot's finally returning after.
Ooh, let's go.
It's been gone a while. So that's been fun. Maybe that's my basketball fix.
Yeah.
Until we get some jazz.
You and Ben Simmons both. I saw the annual Is Ben Simmons Back post on Bleacher Report the other day. So
he looks pretty good though. Doesn't he?
He looks
like they said he's all clear. Like he has no injuries.
Yeah. I mean, we get that video every year, so I'll believe it when I see it.
Oh, okay. I actually saw Walker Kessler working out.
Oh, I saw that too. Yeah.
He was balling. He was doing these tip drill dunks and he was shooting threes. So
that's such good news. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. He might be the starter. We'll see between him and John Collins, but
yeah, it'll be exciting. We're like you said, we're getting in our bag today, but maybe not as deep into our bag. We're only going back to 2007, which I guess is still 17 years ago. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about the 2007 first round Western Conference playoffs, Jazz versus Rockets. We're double dipping on the Rockets.
Oh yeah,
we're going to talk about this game, some history behind it, and what happened in the game. Don't forget to check out our other historical episode we did 2 weeks ago, maybe a couple weeks ago. You can find it on our Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We talked about John Stockton's The Shot. So don't forget to check those out. You can also find us on Instagram at Tuned In Jazz. And this is episode 2 of Tuned In Jazz Rewind. All right, so we've got, we're double dipping on the Rockets.
Poor Rockets, we're sorry, but the Jazz, we had their number.
Yes, we do. So I think we talked in our last historic episode about how we had played them 2 years in a row, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're also at the beginning of a 2 years in a row against the Rockets in the playoffs.
Maybe first an introduction, what is this game?
Yeah.
Why did we pick this game?
Yeah. I mean, me and you were talking, we watched it earlier this week together, and I don't know, this is when I became a Jazz fan. When I remember, I was telling you, for some reason, I really liked Gordon Gierichek because I had his junior Jazz number. And anyways, this one's kind of fun because we know a little more,
Feels a little bit more closeness to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 2007. Put your mind in 2007. Yeah. I don't know where you were in 2007. I was
I don't remember.
I was only five, so I was probably going to preschool.
Yeah.
It was a good time. And then also the Rockets, Yao Ming, Tracy McGrady, dynamic duo. And this is game seven of the first round. So it's kind of been back and forth going to Houston for this game seven.
Yeah, absolutely. The Jazz, previous to this game, had missed the playoffs for 3 seasons in a row. If you think about it, we really weren't very far removed from Stockton Malone era. That's only 7-8 years later. So we missed the playoffs 3 years in a row before this. The Jazz had 8 players who were in their first 3 seasons.
Which is crazy.
Rafael Ruggio, a BYU guy, he was in year 3. But then our rookies, Ronnie Brewer, D. Brown, Paul Millsap, and Roger Powell, we had 4 of those, and 2 second-year guys, T.J. Miles and Darren Williams. Those are some awesome Jazz legends. But we were a very, very young team going into this series.
Kind of reminds me of the Jazz at this moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe our 2007, their first playoffs in 4 years, maybe that's the Jazz in 2020. 6, right? We got a lot of rookies right now, just like they did at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. We had guys like probably, you know, our best player, Carlos Boozer, was in year four.
Still pretty young, yeah.
That's still pretty young. Even guys like our most veteran player at that time was Derek Fisher at year 10, which still isn't like crazy. I mean, that's a good amount of time, but that's
He's a starter. He's definitely a leader on this team.
Yeah.
I would also just like to mention, we noticed that Paul Millsap went to Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
You know anybody else that went to Louisiana Tech?
Oh, man.
There's this one player that was pretty good from there.
Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head, but...
Do you think Paul Millsap was the next Karl Malone? Man. Were fans thinking that at this time? They went to the same college?
Man, I wonder. I mean, it's all Jerry Sloan. I wonder if Jerry Sloan was like, we rolled the dice last time on a Louisiana Tech guy. Let's roll it again. But
yeah, and Paul Millsap was a 47th pick, too. It's crazy. He turned out being an all-star,
so
great player from that.
Yeah, he played like, ended up playing 15, 16 seasons in the NBA. He was, it's crazy. Probably longer than any guy on the team currently that we're looking at. That's kind of wild.
Yeah, and also mentioned, we did have a lottery pick, Ronnie Brewer. He was your guy, right? Wasn't he one of your guys? What do you remember about Ronnie Brewer?
So I just remember, so me and my dad used to go to Summer League before it was like organized as Summer League. It used to be called the Rocky Mountain Review, and they did it at Salt Lake Community College. And I just remember we were playing the Nuggets, and Ronnie Brewer was just absolutely balling out. Mm-hmm. And like, anyways, I've always loved Ronnie Brewer after that. He had some really good seasons.
He had a pretty good career. He played for the Bulls. He was like one of their best players.
His years on the Bulls were really good. Yeah. It was pretty. He had a good career. I think he's on the coaching staff at Arkansas now, college, I think. I always see his Instagram. I follow him on Instagram. So,
what a beast.
Yeah, he was a beast. We had some really good... CJ Miles, similar. He had a really good career. I believe he was on that Toronto championship team.
Yeah, he also played for the Pacers a while, too.
That's right.
That's where I remember him.
Yeah, so some of these guys really stuck around for a while, which is good for them. The Jazz this season had started 12-1. Really hot start.
Reminds me of the like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But this wasn't fake. We made the playoffs.
Yes, we were ready. I think we were a 5 seed going into the playoffs, so we didn't really keep the 12-1 pace, but that's okay. Like you said, year three of Yao McGrady, the Rockets had 3 top 10 3-point shooters. In the NBA.
Which is good for this time. They didn't. They shot more threes than in the 90s, of course, because like Jeff Hornacek, we watched that game. He only shot like 2 threes a game, and he was a great 3-point shooter. Now they're starting to take a little bit more threes, but not quite like today.
Yeah, we're just barely pre Steph Curry,
right?
But Shane Battier, Rafer Alston, and Luther Head all in the top 10. I believe Rafer Alston was
like 4,
the highest of those 3. Yeah, Luther Head. College teammates with Darren Williams at Illinois.
Ooh.
We also had Battier and Boozer were also college teammates at Duke in the late 90s. I can't remember exactly what years, but
got some friendly rivals here.
Yeah, we got some fun here. So
also just a fun note, we compiled some events happening in 2007 just to get you into that mode. In 2007, Steve Jobs announces the release of the first iPhone. That was probably the number one thing that happened that year.
Yeah, 16 iPhones ago or whatever.
Yeah,
we're at.
16 iPhones ago. That's how we're keeping track of time. This is a year before the 2008 recession that's about to happen. Kind of rough. Bob Barker's last episode of The Price is Right. He used to watch The Price is Right all the time.
Show was awesome.
Grandparents and family. It's a good one.
I always used to think that I could be really good at the big wheel. I always thought would like get it right on, but you know, I never got my opportunity. That's okay, I guess.
Yeah, we always watch on Saturday. It's like every morning, actually.
Yeah.
Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal. Love those.
It was fun.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid is published this year.
Absolutely.
One of my childhood books.
Literary classic. I don't know why kids aren't studying that in school, to be honest.
I think I learned a lot from those books.
That's
They're
what
great.
I'm saying. Those are incredible.
Obama announces his running for president. He's about to get into that office. Kind of some sports news as well. NBA referee Tim Donaghy surrenders to police and pleads guilty to charges that he placed bets on games that he refereed.
Yeah.
That nobody talks about that.
No, it was crazy. If anybody hasn't seen the documentary on, I think it's like an ESPN 30 for 30. It's pretty crazy. It was weird because he wasn't like directly betting, but he just knew how his colleagues reffed. And so he was like, this guy's going to be a little harsher on travels. And this team travels a lot. And it was just crazy. Absolutely. Yeah,
if you're a Kings fan, I think he kind of robbed them of a championship in like 2000 or 2001 or two with the Lakers. Florida beats Duke to repeat as men's college basketball champions. What a great team. They had Joakim Noah, Al Horford, Corey Brewer, and Mo Spates.
Yeah.
Billy Donovan, head coach. Kind of a fun note. And then the Super Bowl, Indianapolis Colts beat the Chicago Bears 29-17, and Peyton Manning was the MVP. That was probably prime Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
He was doing his thing. He was doing his thing. Then our last one, I know we had a lot of things in this year. Phineas and Ferb debuts on Disney Channel. That's one of our childhood ones as well. A lot of people love that. And then iCarly and Big Bang Theory as well. So great year for TV.
Yeah, producers were cooking that year. They were cooking. Oh, yeah. Yeah, some great. It's kind of crazy looking. I guess any year you put under a microscope, you're going to see a bunch of cool things that happen. But that's a lot of stuff that happened in 1 year.
I think the iPhone's probably going to trump anything else. I think that was pretty sweet that happened. We didn't really know what we were getting in 2007.
Absolutely.
And then let's get into the rosters for both teams. So starting lineup for the Jazz. Like we said, year two, Deron Williams is point guard. We got Derek Fisher. He's kind of a point guard / shooting guard.
Pretty undersized.
Starting lineup. Andre Kirilenko playing the three. Just unfair how lengthy and tall he is at the three. Carlos Boozer and Mehmet Okur. And Mehmet Okur actually was an all-star this year replacing Boozer. So technically we had two all-stars because Boozer made it and then he was injured. So Okur made it in his place. So we had two all-stars. And then off the bench, we got Matt Harpring, Gordon Giricek, your boy.
Let's go.
Jaron Collins and Paul Millsap, rookie. Yeah. Pretty solid. And then did not play Rafael Arugio. Is that right?
Arugio.
Ronnie Brewer, the rookie, he didn't play. And D. Brown, veteran, he didn't play either.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of crazy. We always talk about Yao Ming, how he was built in the lab, but Kirilenko, I think he might have been built in a Russian lab.
We're trying to think. I don't think we found. Maybe we missed somebody, but he's probably the best Russian basketball player ever.
I think so. We found out. We didn't know this, but we found out Joel Bolomboy is also Russian. Just a fun fact, or at least he's a Russian
African
citizen.
African Russian.
Yeah, but definitely not better than Kirilenko. I would probably put Kirilenko up there. So
definitely, and we got Yegor Demin.
Yep.
At BYU, he's Russian. That's true.
He's probably going to dethrone him. He's looking pretty good.
He could overpass Kirilenko.
Yeah.
And then let's get into the Rockets roster. They had a great team as well.
Yeah.
Rafer Alston, like we said, top three-point shooter. Tracy McGrady, Hall of Famer. Shane Battier, also every team would love a Shane Battier on their team. Chuck Hayes at the four and Yao Ming at the five.
Yeah.
Strong starting lineup. And then off the bench, they just played three guys off bench. Juwan Howard, Luther Head, and Dikembe Mutombo in like the very last legs of his career. He's only going to play one or two more years after this. So I don't know. Do you see like any matchup problems that you might see for the Jazz or for the Rockets just with the lineups?
Oh, man. It's kind of hard to like look at these lineups in retrospect, because you're like even just looking at the Jazz, you're like, dang, that's a stacked lineup. But at the time, like, these guys are all super young, you know, like,
yeah,
we didn't know at the time, like, it's Paul Millsap, he's gonna be an all-star, you know, like,
yeah, he didn't even play barely at all. He played like 10 minutes.
And even like looking at Dikembe Mutombo, you're like, dang, they got Dikembe Mutombo off the bench, what the heck, you know, like,
old Mutombo.
But yeah, I mean, Tracy McGrady's a tough guard at any. I mean, even if you have Andre Kirilenko, Tracy McGrady is probably one of the best isolation scorers there in the history of the NBA. Yeah. Top 10, at least, I think.
He's just a taller Kobe. If he played longer, who knows? He could be.
Yeah.
in that conversation.
Absolutely.
This was 3 years after he did the 13 points in 30 seconds.
Yeah. That's so wild.
So he's in his prime. I think biggest matchup there is who's going to guard McGrady, and I think we'll see a lot of different people do that. And then, of course, I think Okur versus Ming being a big matchup.
Absolutely.
Down there in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the coach matchup, Jerry Sloan. He's got like maybe 3 or 4 more years left in the tank. He's getting towards the end of his career, the Jazz. And then Jeff Van Gundy as the coach of the Rockets. I'll be honest, I know Jeff Van Gundy a lot more from broadcasting because he's done that for so long, but he was a really good coach as well.
Yeah.
I don't remember. He's before my time, but the teams that he coached.
Yeah. I remember that he coached. I remember his brother more.
Stan.
Yeah.
He coached the Pistons for a while.
That's right.
And I think he coached the Magic with JJ Redick.
Oh, I think he took that. He was their coach in the finals, right? With Dwight and.
Yep.
That's right.
That was Stan. But, and so we got Jeff. And then just kind of fun assistant coaches, Tyrone Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Rockets, Tom Thibodeau is an assistant. Yeah. We just like were watching the game and we just saw Tom Thibodeau on the bench. Like, wait, is that him?
Yeah.
It was. So, but
yeah.
There's some lead up. Let's get into the gameplay and really like what happens in this game.
Let's do it. Yeah. An interesting, I guess, part of the gameplay, or at least the broadcast, baby blues were worn.
One of our favorite jerseys.
Yeah, we might be in the minority of loving those, but we wore them in the playoffs, so they must not have been too hated, right?
Yeah.
And Steve Kerr, Marv Albert, Craig Sager were on the broadcast. Steve Kerr.
Good crew right there.
Yeah, that's it's crazy seeing Steve Kerr really. I mean, he still seems pretty young, but. He seemed really young.
He's probably barely retired, I would guess. Marv Albert has been doing this for so long. He's a legend. I don't know if they probably put him in the Hall of Fame for that, right?
Oh, they should.
And then rest in peace to Craig Sager. Always got the great suits on.
Yeah.
And I'll also add just kind of a fun note. I feel like Steve Kerr, the modern version of him is JJ Redick.
Yeah.
Because Steve Kerr retired, did broadcasting, then coaching.
Yeah.
JJ Redick's doing that same path. So, but we'll see if JJ Redick's as good of a coach as Steve Kerr was.
I don't think JJ Redick's being handed as silver of a platter as Steve Kerr was, but.
No, he's got some things to work through.
Yeah. But JJ Redick has a really good basketball mind, so I could see it going well for him. I guess we'll start talking about the game. The first half, the Jazz got out to a pretty hot start. I don't think that the Rockets led at any point in the first half. From the jump, the Jazz were ready to go. Boozer had 17 points at halftime. We were laughing kind of at his jump shot a little bit. Not laughing, but...
His free throw, definitely.
It was just a little funky, yeah. I remember wanting to shoot like him as a kid, and my dad wouldn't let me because it was, it's not very fundamental, but so I could understand it now. But.
It's not like Klay Thompson's jump shot.
No, yeah.
Shane Battier hit 2 3-pointers in the first quarter.
Yeah.
They shot throughout this game double the amount of threes we shot.
Yeah.
So they're definitely thinking more towards three is greater than two, and we're just going ham at the mid-range.
Yeah.
Carlos Boozer, that's his game. He's just going to shoot a lot of mid-range and paint shots.
It's kind of crazy watching the game we watched a couple weeks ago and this one. Like, a lot of the points back then were like at the basket. And even here, it's like moving out a little to the mid-range. Like, I feel like we watched a ton of mid-range jumpers.
Right.
And even to today, we move out even further to the three, obviously. Jazz had a ton of mid-range shots.
Yeah, taken. Actually, at the half, Shane Battier had 4 threes, Rafer Alston had 1.
Dang.
That's still not like today's basketball, but a lot more than what the 90s were.
Yeah,
they were also going crazy with Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady.
Mm-hmm.
They were all getting post-ups from, I guess, both players, mostly Yao, but Tracy was getting his post-ups and isolations. They really run through those two guys and the other... the other players kind of stand on the three-point line.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Chuck Hayes didn't really give them that much spacing, but...
Yeah.
He actually finished the quarter with 0 points, 0 assists, 0 blocks, 0 rebounds, 3 fouls.
Oh, man.
So Chuck Hayes was just out there.
Yeah. I think he was in his second year as well, so he was a pretty young guy.
Okay.
At that time. Yeah, so he probably wasn't used to... The Rockets had also, I think we forgot to mention this earlier, but the Rockets had also missed the playoffs the year before. So for a lot of these guys like him, that's like first playoff experience, you know, kind of crazy.
Yeah. Tracy McGrady just kept getting bounced in the first round every year.
He was a veteran of the first round. He was very experienced.
Yeah, he knows what it's like to play that first round. That's about it.
Not to win, but to play. Yeah.
And then I guess going into the second half, there was the gap was closed. Mm-hmm. The Jazz were consistently up in the first half. Towards the end of the second quarter, third quarter, Rockets come storming back a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say that was, I feel like that was a lot of McGrady either scoring or assisting on a lot of buckets.
Yeah, I think just guys getting in foul trouble too was a big thing. I guess Jazz didn't have anybody that was too crazy, but some guys getting up there with four and it's a lot to ask to guard a guy like Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady without fouling them, you know?
Yeah. I'm looking at it. Mehmet Okur had 4 fouls in the fourth quarter alone.
Yeah.
So we had to pull him out with like 4 minutes left and we were both watching. We were like, no, he's our only chance to guard Yao Ming. Jaron Collins tried his best.
Yeah.
Also, just Carlos Boozer was really consistent.
Oh, very.
He'd get like eight or more points every single quarter, and that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
He finished the game with what, like 35 points?
35, yeah. Crazy. 17 in the first half, 18 in the second half.
And it didn't feel like he was just killing.
No.
Like he didn't go on a big run. He just was very consistent.
I don't even feel like we were really like running the ball through him a ton. Like the ball just found him because he was open, you know, or he was like ready to make the play. So,
and even like Okur was a pretty good passer,
yeah,
to be able to find him sometimes. So
Carlos Boozer also had a really good rebounding game, 14 for the game.
That's with Yao Ming in there too,
yeah, leaving him with 35 and 14, also 5 assists, just an incredible
not to mention year two Darren Williams, he had 20 points and 14 assists.
Yeah.
For year two, that's great.
That is really good, yeah.
If we could get that from Keontae
maybe
next year, that'd be great.
Yeah. Maybe we would want less than 4 turnovers from Darren, but
yeah.
From a second year player, I guess that's kind of what you expect in your first playoff series as well. That was their first, so.
Yeah, I also appreciated Derek Fisher was playing some pretty solid defense. Yeah. AK-47. He had to guard Tracy McGrady for a good amount, especially down the stretch.
Yeah.
And he did a pretty good job. Tracy McGrady's going to do his thing. You can't always stop him, but he did a pretty good job guarding him.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's different than the 90s game we watched. They also did cross match where even though AK-47 was playing the three, it makes a lot more sense to have him guard Tracy, right? So they did do a lot of cross matching, let guys just sit in the corner like they do now.
Yeah, we saw we also saw Andre Kirilenko had, this was earlier in the game, but that chase down block.
Oh, kind of stripping.
Stretch, yeah.
Was that on Yao?
On Yao, yeah. And then he also had that, I think it was Rafer Alston got the breakaway and he chased down the block, kind of pinned it against the glass a little.
Let's go.
Just a super elite defender, but also he hit that three at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really like what his role was on our team, but I mean, we'll take the three.
Hey, one for one from three. Yeah, we'll take that. His offense was kind of just all right. He kind of just played off of everybody else.
Yeah.
To
me, he kind of seems like the mold of a Jerry Sloan basketball player, just kind of a nasty, gritty, like get in there.
He'll do the dirty work.
Yeah, play your role and, you know, just work hard.
Definitely.
He's a beast.
And then I think really what won it for us at the end of the game, it was close down to the last minute.
Really close.
Even the Rockets took the lead at one point with a couple minutes left.
First lead of the game.
Mehmet Okur hits two three-pointers down the stretch the last couple minutes to really solidify the win.
Yeah, it was crazy.
His shot is kind of weird, too.
It's a little odd,
It's a set shot. He kind of just chucks it. But his shot is so clean. I didn't realize how good of a shooter he was. He was kind of like that Jokic before Jokic.
Right,
yeah. With at least the shooting, maybe not the passing like Jokic, but...
Yeah, at that time in the NBA, it probably was just him and Dirk, like, out there shooting, like, I can't think of any other guys around that time that were, like, shooting like that as seven-footers, pretty much. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, definitely. So, very clutch shots from him. He really closed it out for us, and then we were able to, we get ahead by, like, three or four.
Yeah.
I think the Rockets had a chance to tie the game at the very end, down by three, and, oof. I can't remember exactly what happened. We watched it 2 days ago, but they kind of got off a bad three.
Mm-hmm.
We take the win, right? So
yeah,
pretty exciting game from start to finish.
Really exciting.
Rockets made it a little bit too close for comfort. For a second, we were thinking, do we really actually win this game?
Yeah.
But Jazz do pull it out. Great win for them in game seven.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
kind of crazy to think of when you look at, like, the situation, like, a bunch of young players who haven't made the playoffs in 3 years, all of a sudden they win a playoff series and then they win another playoff series.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy to think that would happen. And that could happen to us, right?
You know? Yeah, this was the year one of it, right? Yep. And then they kept making the playoffs. Any other notes from the game? Any other players you want to shout out or saw from the game?
I just love all the guys on this team. I think this is an awesome team, but I really love Matt Harpring. He didn't do a ton this game. I think
goat of Georgia Tech basketball.
That's right. Yeah. I think he was 4 for 9, but he was plus 13 on the floor. He took a couple of really nice shots. He's got a really clean looking jump
rebounds.
Shot. Yeah. Just another player like Andre Kirilenko that's just going to come in and play well. I wasn't a fan of him as a broadcaster later, but I think he was a great Utah Jazz player. So
yeah, I think that we really need to shout that out too. Just between Boozer, Okur, and Harpring, and the rest of the team, we definitely won the rebound battle.
Yeah,
we had 40 rebounds to their 33, and it's hard to do when you're playing Yao Ming, right?
Yeah.
And so, I think that was a really big contributor to the win. Everybody's kind of wanting it more.
Yeah.
That's really what rebounding's about, is you just kind of want it a little bit more than the other team, especially in this era where everybody's shooting poorly from three, so you got to get those rebounds.
Yeah.
That's like the last step of defense, right? Because you could play great defense for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
If you don't get the rebound, then what's the point?
Right, yeah. They just get a reset. Yeah. Yeah, so he was pretty good. I just looked it up. When he first came to the Jazz, he averaged 17 points a game, which is kind of crazy. He was second most improved player. But that was like, so in 07, he was like 5 or 6 seasons in. He was still averaging 11 and 5 rebounds, and he had some 6-man of the year votes. So super underrated player.
One of the best bench players then, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't know he was that big of a bucket.
Yeah.
We got to go watch some Matt Harpring highlights after this.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
So where does this game rank for you in Jazz history?
Oh, man. I'd probably say top 10. I do think this really just like kicked off a really cool era of Jazz basketball. Even though the Deron Williams era kind of ended weird, I do think that the Deron Williams era in the Jazz was kind of fun to watch. And it was, maybe I'm a little biased because that's when I was first getting into basketball, but really just exciting time to be a Jazz fan. Where do you think?
I would say it's hard to say because playoffs are probably the biggest stakes.
Yeah.
And in terms of playoffs, this is one of the best that you can get with the Jazz. Like, I think for that alone, I think maybe top 5. Game 7 win. This is this game really shows you what Deron Williams' Boozer era looks like. And yeah, it's hard to beat that, at least from this era. Yeah. And so in my top five, I think I'd have to have a couple from each era. This would be the one that I would take from that Deron Williams Boozer era.
That's so true. Playing against two Hall of Famers as well.
Yeah.
Arguably a top 10 center ever. And Yao Ming, Trace McGrady, best isolation guys ever. One of them at least.
Yeah, great team.
Yeah.
And then just some aftermath. This was the same year the 8th seed Warriors.
Yeah.
With who was on that team?
I think it was like Baron Davis,
Steven Jackson. Yeah. I think might have been on there. Like maybe Jason
Latrell
Richardson.
Latrell Sprewell, maybe.
Those kind of guys. We Believe Warriors team beat the Mavericks in the first round. And we love that as the Jazz because we beat the We Believe Warriors in the second round. And so as a 5th seed, the Jazz make the conference finals, but then we lose 4-1 to the Spurs, who are going on to win the championship.
Yeah.
That's a tough Spurs team.
That might have been, in my opinion, the best Spurs team ever. They've had some good ones. So that's kind of a hot take maybe, but
Ginobili in his prime.
It's a tough one to beat.
Tim Duncan in his prime. Yeah. They're all in their prime in this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a crazy year. I think we were looking at the East. The West was pretty strong, which is kind of a common trend for the last couple of decades in the NBA.
I mean, you got the Lakers too with Kobe.
Yeah.
You got the Spurs always.
So crazy. And the Mavericks looked really good. They had the MVP that year. Yeah. Dirk won MVP that year, 2007.
Warriors were no slouch.
Yeah.
Jazz and Rockets, we already talked enough about. They were both great teams.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and in the East, LeBron, third year LeBron James, leads the Cleveland Cavaliers to get swept by the Spurs in the finals.
Do you think if the Jazz beat the Spurs, they could have beat LeBron in the finals?
I think so. I mean, if you look at those, like, that roster was so bad. I mean, not bad. I guess they made it to the finals, but it's just the LeBron James effect, I think.
I mean, we got Kirilenko to guard LeBron.
Yeah.
And then we don't really have to worry about the rest of the team. Maybe Ilgauskas, was he on there?
Yeah, I think so.
We got Okur to lock that down easier than Ming. Right?
And Boozer was familiar with him. That's where he started his career.
He knows all their plays, maybe. Yeah. I don't, he was there probably when, switched him.
I think he was there. Have you seen that clip where he was like talking trash on LeBron when LeBron got drafted?
No.
He was like, so he was on the Cleveland Cavaliers that year. What was that? 03, yeah, when LeBron was drafted. And somebody, reporter, was asking him about LeBron, and he's like, oh, we've got guys better than him. Like,
oh, man.
Anyways, so that didn't age very well. But
no, that's why he got traded.
Yeah, I guess signed. So.
Yeah. So I think we might have had a good shot, but that Spurs team, it was going to be hard to get past them. And then the Jazz would end up making the playoffs three more times, beating the Rockets again next year, but Yao Ming was hurt. And then losing to the Lakers 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Kind of starting a little bit of a rivalry with the Lakers at that time, but kind of a one-sided rivalry as well.
Yeah. For fun. The Jazz traded my boy Gordon Gierichek the next year as well. We got Kyle Korver. I think in his prime years with the Jazz.
He's shooting like 48% from three.
Yeah, that's when he really earned his later paychecks that he got around the NBA.
And I also think the Jazz could have had a shot if maybe we'd gotten Kyle Korver for this season, right?
That's true.
We were in the conference finals. Korver would have been great.
Oh, yeah. Stretched the floor a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. And then a big storyline after the season, Derek Fisher leaves. That was kind of a crazy thing. I think he said that his daughter had eye cancer. Yeah. And he needed to go back to LA to
New York
to get doctors, and then went to LA, right?
Yeah, so he was going to go to New York for the doctors so that he could be close to his daughter, but then he ends up signing with the Lakers, which is like completely far away from New York. So I don't support this, but the Jazz fans chanted cancer every time he touched the ball when he came back to Utah. That's too far.
Super far, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully we don't do that again.
Yeah.
But Jazz fans were pretty mad after this year because they liked Derek Fisher and it kind of ended on a sour note.
Yeah, and then especially like it just left a bad, because he was a big part of the reason we made it to the Western Conference Finals. We hadn't done that in a while.
And I mean, he was on that Lakers team that kept beating us as well, so that kind of added to it.
And that excuse just never like made a ton of sense because like Utah's got one of the best like cancer research facilities in the country and doctors that know about it. And it's like, and I'm sure New York and California do as well, but it's like, it doesn't really make any sense what you're saying.
It's okay. I think his daughter ended up being all right too. Yeah. So
that is good.
That makes you feel good. And then, honestly, we got Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
So that's a good replacement, not defensively, but we'll take that.
And Derek Fisher had his, what would that have been like? 10 years where he got to be the villain until Gordon Hayward took the throne. And I guess he's kind of currently our guy, maybe.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward's retiring, so I don't know who our villain is now.
Yeah, that's true. Got to pick somebody. Maybe Talon Horton Tucker. Zero in on him for no reason, really. I guess he didn't really leave
us. Yeah, every time he comes back to Utah, you're going to boo him.
No. Yeah.
No, I'll cheer for THT.
Absolutely.
But what a game. I'm glad we could do this one. Now we got two eras of Jazz covered. Maybe we'll have to do our next game as like a current 2020s or 2010s.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz Podcast Rewind. We are so grateful for all you listeners. Leave us a good rating if you'd like this. Share this podcast with a friend. We're on all the platforms. And we hope that you have a great weekend. Get ready for some Jazz basketball, and we'll catch you next week.
Peace.
Take care.